Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Yesterday, after Pastor asked me, I kind of walked in and I just started walking and praying and just seeking God. And he dropped in my spirit the title of tonight's message. And so the title of the message is Saying No So I Can Say Yes. And I thought that's kind of a strange title, Saying No So I Can Say Yes. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Before I do, I just want to say, you know, Sabrina and I celebrated 25 years of marriage yesterday. And it was part of this message just resonates because if we can catch a hold of this, it'll make a complete difference in our lives and how things work in our lives. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Actually, we're going to start with chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So if you will, stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight once you've found it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Starting with verse 1, it says, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this message. Lord, I ask that you would anoint me, God. Touch our ears that we would hear. Touch our hearts that we'd receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And I'll tell you what, you know, when God speaks to you, I actually sit down and started writing this out. And I think I rearranged my message about 12 times in the Word document as I was doing it and trying to figure out how everything was to perceive. But I have a few questions for everybody tonight. Have you ever thought that you needed more time in a day to accomplish everything that needed to be done? Anybody in here, let me see your hands if you've ever thought that. Amen. You know, there's some days that you just, you go to bed that night and you're sitting there thinking about everything that had to be done and you didn't get done. And, you know, I've thought that. Number two, have you ever had several events planned at the same time and in the same day and had to choose which one to do? Anybody in here? Am I talking to anybody? Yeah. Or three or four events at the same time. Yeah. Number three, have you ever thought if I could just clone myself, it would be awesome? Anybody in here? Well, Sabrina and I was talking about this last night as we were going to Evansville to celebrate. And she says, you know, if I could clone myself, that'd be all right. That'd be awesome. And I said, no, because one would tell the other what to do, and they'd start arguing, and you'd spend the time fighting with each other. And I said, you know, that's what would happen, you know, because our personalities, if we're the same, we would clash with each other. So cloning ourselves wouldn't work. Have you ever thought, if I could have this or that, then I would be happy? Anybody? I'm raising my hand. Have you ever thought, why do sinners have more than I do, and I'm a Christian? Anybody? Come on now, be honest. You know we've all thought these things. You know, you see sinners that, man, they seems like they have everything. And I was sitting up here, and I've got notes written all over my notes, just so you all can see, because, I mean, as I'm reading it, things have been coming to my mind, and I thought, you know, just because they seem to have more than we do doesn't mean they have everything. Amen? Have you ever thought, what's the point of life? The older I get, I start contemplating and thinking about life and the meaning of why I'm here a lot more. And I think, you know, I've been in children's ministry for so long. Is that what my life is all about? Is that all that my life is ever going to be about? And so you think these things. Am I, you know, if you work in the coal mines, you might think, is this all I'm ever going to do? Am I going to always be a coal miner? Am I always going to be a doctor or a nurse or a whatever your vocation is? Anybody ever thought that before? And then we look at somebody else that maybe has what seems to be a better position or a better vocation, and we think, I wish I had that. Or I wish I was in their shoes and had what they had. That way I would have what they have. And then the last question is, When will I get everything I want? Has anybody ever thought that? Oh, come on. You guys are dead tonight. Anybody ever thought that? When will I get what I want? Come on, let me see your hands. Be honest. So we spend our time thinking about all these things. Well, as God showed me this, he said, saying no so that I can say yes. And I said, all right, God. And as he started showing me what he wanted me to talk about tonight, I said, God, I like to tell stories when I preach. That's just me. I'm not as much a teacher as I am. I like to preach and I like to teach from stories. And so as I was praying yesterday, God dropped in my spirit about Samson and Delilah. And so I started thinking about the story about Samson and Delilah. Now, let me ask you guys a question for a second. When we're talking about Samson, if I was to ask you, what was Samson's downfall in his life? What would you all say? Can somebody tell me? What was it? Delilah. Who agrees? Raise your hand. All right. What I want us to look at for just a moment in the Word, we're going to look at the story of Samson. And I want to go back just a moment. I want to go back to when his mom did not have Samson. His mom was a barren woman. She had no children and was not able to have children. And one day, an angel of the Lord appeared unto her. And he said, listen, I know you're barren. I know you don't have any kids and you've not been able to have kids, but you're going to have a son. And when you have this son, while you're pregnant with him, I want you to abstain from wine and juice and grapes and undefiled foods and things like that. So the angel gave her explicit instructions on what not to do. And she told her husband, and her husband was like, you know, I could only imagine if my wife had never been to have children, she came to me and said, a man appeared to me, said, you're going to have kids. He probably had a million questions. So he went to the Lord and he prayed and he said, God, you know, let this man come back and appear to us again so we shall know how to raise our child and how to bring him up. And so the next day or a couple days later, his wife was out in the field sitting and the man appeared to her again and she went and got her husband and her husband came back and her husband was like, what's your name? Who are you? You know, what are we supposed to do? And he had like a million questions because here this man has said that you're going to have a child. And he's like, tell me who you are so when this happens and comes to pass, I can give credit to who you are. And he's like, he didn't tell him his name. He's like, because it wasn't about him. And so he's like, well, hold on. Let's stay here. I'm going to slay a lamb and we're going to have some food. And he's like, no, I'm not going to eat anything that you prepare. But if you offer up a sacrifice to the Lord. And so Manoah begins to sacrifice and he builds an altar and he places it on his sacrifices, the grain offering and the animal to the Lord. And it says as the fire goes up to heaven, the angel, the man of God that was there, the angel went up in the flame to heaven in the fire. And they knew that God had spoke to him. And at that point, Manoah began to become afraid because he thought, surely we're going to die because we have seen God. And they realized that they had seen an angel of the Lord and that God had spoken to them and that they were going to have a child. Now, let me tell you something. When God speaks to you about something, you can write it down tonight. Amen. When God tells you that something's going to happen, I'm here to tell you it's going to happen. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can take it, write it down, put it in a bank, and it's going to happen. The day in society we live in today, when God speaks something to our spirit, that it's being robbed and pulled from us from so many different directions because we live in doubt and we live in unbelief and we live in fear. And it's sad that Thomas the doubter is judged by one act of doubt that he had. Do y'all remember that? And that's what he's known for, is that one act of doubt. But we live in doubt. But let me tell you something, when God speaks something, you can write it down, it's going to happen. And so Samson is born. And let's just read here in Numbers chapter 6, verse 3. This is what a vow of a Nazarite is. So Numbers chapter 6, verse 3, and it's going to run through verse 8. It says, Nazarites must never drink wine, liquor, vinegar made from wine or liquor, or any kind of grape juice, not even grape juice, no Welch's, sorry guys. And they must never eat fresh grapes or raisins. As long as they are Nazarites, they must never eat anything that comes from a grapevine, not even the grape seeds or skins. Now, it must have been pretty serious in this vow not to even go near grapes. I mean, that's how serious it was. They couldn't even have grapes off the vine. You know, we know they're not fermented, you know, as a grape on the vine, but a Nazarite couldn't even go near them, basically. And then in verse 5, it says, as long as they are under the Nazarite vow, no razor shall touch their heads. During the entire time they are dedicated to the Lord as Nazarites, they will be holy. They must let their hair grow long. While they are dedicated to the Lord as Nazarites, they must never go near a dead body or a carcass. Number 6 and 7 says, even if their own father, mother, brother, or sister dies, they must not make themselves unclean by going near them. Not touching, but going near. That's how serious this vow is. Nazarites show their vows to God with their long hair. As long as they're Nazarites, they will be holy to the Lord. Verse 8. Now we see, as Samson begins to grow up, the Bible says that the Spirit of God began to move mightily upon him and begin to move through him. And then one day he's out and he sees this woman from Timnah, and she pleased his eyes. In other words, he liked her. And he went to his mom and dad and he said, Mom and Dad, there's a woman down in Timnah that I like her. I want you to go get her for me. And his mom and dad were like, isn't there a woman from one of our brothers or our family around here that you could marry instead? And he's like, no, I want this woman. He wanted what he wanted. Did you hear me? He wanted what he wanted. And so they went down to Timnah, and they went down to get this woman to be his wife. And it says that while he went down, that Samson came to the vineyards. Now, what I found interesting in this story is that, and I never caught this until I was really thinking about it today. As he was walking through the vineyard, there was a young lion that roared against Samson. And the Bible says that Samson rent him as a kid like it was nothing. The Spirit of God came upon him and he just ripped him in two. Now, what didn't make sense at first is that it says later on in the scripture that Samson did not tell his mom and dad what had happened. I thought to myself, they went down to Timnah to get the wife, but Samson was at the vineyard, which is a place where they grow what? Grapes. And if his vow and his Nazarite thing was so serious, they weren't to be basically near him almost. And he was at a vineyard, and his mom and dad weren't there, so he must have left them and went on his own when this lion came out and roared. So he slays this lion and he kills this lion. They go down and they make their arrangements, and I guess some time went by and he went back home. Well, they were going back down to do the wedding, to get married. And as he goes, the Bible says that he turned aside and went to see the lion. So he went back to the vineyard again. And as he comes to the lion, now the lion is what? He's dead, right? So what is he? What is it? It's a carcass. And so he wasn't even supposed to go near any, according to his Nazarite vow. So now he is already, number one, he's already gone to a vineyard how many times? Twice. Now he's going near a dead carcass, and in that carcass is honey, bees and honey. And the Bible says that he reaches in that carcass and he takes out the bees and the honey and he eats it. And then he goes back to his mom and dad, which weren't with him again, and he goes back to and gives them to eat as well. So now he's broken his Nazarite vow how many times? At least three times. So they go in. Now, this has shed a little different light on maybe Samson's arrogance. Like, you know, he knew his vow. He knew what he was supposed to be doing. But he hid the fact that he killed the lion. He hid the fact that where the honey came from. So what's he doing now? He's sinning and he's hiding his sin. Amen? All right, so we get down there, and so he goes in, and he's getting married. He's having a feast, a celebration, 7 days, and as he's there, there's 30 men, and he makes this riddle with them. And he says, if you guys can answer this riddle for me within 7 days, I'll give you 30 garments. But if not, you'll give me 30 sheets and 30 garments. And so they're like, all right, tell us the riddle. And the riddle is, anybody know it? He says, out of the eater came forth meat, And out of the strong came forth sweetness. Now, what's he talking about? Anybody in here know? He's talking about the lion, the carcass. And out of the carcass came forth sweetness, the honey. And so that's what he's talking about. So this celebration's going on, and he's married and his wife, and the Philistines come into her, and they're like, listen, we can't figure out this riddle. You've got to tell us what this riddle means. And he's like, tell us. And so she's like, and if you don't, we're going to kill you and your family. And so she goes into Samson, and every day, the Bible says she lays on him, and she just wears him out. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Has anybody, parents, your kids want to do something, and you tell them no. Have you ever had a child, please, oh, please, and they ask you over and 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 over again until you're like, fine, go, do it, get out of my way. You know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever done that? I've done it. Kids have a way of pressing you, and she pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. And pressed him for the answer. And finally he was like, my mom and dad doesn't even know. And she's like, but I'm your wife. You need to tell me, please. And she kept on. He's finally like, fine, it's the lion and it's the honey out of the lion. And so she tells him. And then they come on the seventh day and they give the answer. And it infuriates him. And he actually says something which is pretty funny. He says, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't know the answer to the riddle. And he was angry. He was mad. And so he went down and killed 30 people and took their garments and gave them to them. So he was so angry, he went back home. And then he comes back to go in with his wife. And the father-in-law has given his wife away to his companion because he thought he was so angry with her that he didn't want nothing to do with her. So he gave her away to be a wife to somebody else. He became angry and he went and caught 300 fox, tied their tails together, two of them, and put a firebrand in it and set it on fire and set them loose into the fields. And it wiped out the fields and destroyed it. Now, what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing a man who, number one, lets anger control him. Amen? And he has retaliated and retaliated. Now, as this happens, they come back and they find out who it is that did it and why he did it, and they went and killed his wife and her father and burnt them. So it's like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So then we get to the part where, I think I flipped my page out of nervousness, and we get to the part where Samson goes up to the mountain of Edom, and the Philistines come up, and the tribe of Judah, they're like, what are y'all coming up here for? And they're like, we're coming to get Samson because of the things that he's done. And we're going to take him. And they're like, he's like, you can help us or whatever. And they went up and they told Samson, we've come up to get you. And we're going to take you back. And Samson's like, fine, that's fine. I'll go back with you. But promise me one thing, that you're not going to follow me and kill me. Promise me that you won't do it. And they're like, absolutely not. So they bind him, they take him out. And this is a story that we hear about Samson a lot. This is a story that a lot of people know about him. They take him and when they get there to Lehi, the Philistines start rushing in and screaming. And Samson looks down and he picks up a jawbone of a donkey. And the Bible says he slays 1,000 men that day. Y'all know the story. That's the one we've talked about. We hear. And so he slays 1,000 men. Then, after that, Samson goes into a city and he falls for a harlot. Goes into her. They come to lay wait for him to kill him. At midnight, he gets up and he takes the gates of the city and he goes off. This guy was strong. This guy, I mean, he had the anointing of God on his life. He walked in the presence of God. But do you all see what's happening here? There's a pattern that's happening in his life.
You see, I used to think that it was Delilah's fault that he fell and that he sinned, that Delilah was the reason for his downfall, that she was the main thing. But what has happened is we see a pattern that has been established from the beginning all the way through, where Samson has broken his Nazarite covenant. He's broken it over and over and over. He's not living according to that relationship with God that he should be. And he's hidden his sin from his parents and from others. He's hidden the things that he's done wrong. But let me tell you something. You can try to hide what you're doing wrong, but God will reveal what you're doing wrong in the open. Amen? And I'm telling you, young people, you could try to hide it, but God knows. Wait till you get good Holy Ghost mama who's praying and God reveals it to her. My kids wonder how mama knows so much stuff sometimes, and she's like, God showed me. Man, I tell you. So Samson, he goes in and he goes to Sarek and he finds Delilah. He falls in love with her. This is what I find kind of funny about this whole story. They come to her and they press her to give in, to find out his secret. And they're going to give her like 1,100 shekels of gold or silver, whatever it is, each. And so they're going to give her this money. And so she goes into Samson and she starts to press him for his secret. Now, guys, if a woman comes to you the first time and presses you for an answer and it gets you in trouble, the second time when a woman starts, don't you think we would be smart enough to know, wait a minute, ding, 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 there's a problem here. We would think Samson would have been smart enough to know, wait a minute, this has happened before. I'm probably going to end up in trouble here. But I want you to understand something. This is what sin does. There's this line that we think, it's kind of like this line in our mind that we think that if we get close to it but don't cross it, we're okay. We can tiptoe that line. As long as we don't go over, we're okay. And we try, I think it's the sinful nature of man. We think that we can just push the envelope. Kids do it. They'll push us as far as they can to see how far we'll let them get by. But it's something, it's the sinful nature of man. And Samson was great at pushing that line and walking that line, but he would step over it and then back. Step over it and back. So we get to the point here where Samson and Delilah, she comes to him, she starts pressing him. She's like, tell me the secret of your strength, please, oh please. And she presses him. And Samson's like, well, if you bind me with 7 withs that are not dried out, I'll be like any other man. I'll be weak. And she's like, oh. And he goes to sleep, and she binds him with the 7 withs. And she goes, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he wakes up, and he breaks those, and he destroys them. You know, any normal person would be like, wait a minute. I told her this. This happened. Maybe I shouldn't tell her anything else. But no. Samson is so blinded at this point. Now listen, his blinding, hold on, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. The second thing, she starts pressing him again. You know, please tell me the truth. If you bind me with 7 ropes that have never been used, then I'll be like any other man. And they're like, so he goes to sleep, and guess what she does? She binds him with 7 ropes that's never been used again. And then she yells, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon us. And he shakes himself, comes to, and guess what? He destroys them. Now, I want you to notice something here. The third time. You're making a fool of me. You just don't love me. And he says, if you bind me, if you take my hair, my 7 locks of hair, and weave it in the weaver's beam, then I'll be like. Now, notice what's happening. He's getting closer to his covenant. He's getting closer and closer to giving away his secret. Same thing happens. They come in. He breaks himself free. But then she presses him to the point where he finally reveals his covenant. I'm a Nazarite. I'm not supposed to do these things. I'm not supposed to cut or shave my hair. Not a razor's to come to my head. And what happens? We know the story. He went to sleep. She shaved his head, or called someone. They shaved his head.
She yells, "The Philistines are upon us." He jumps up thinking the Spirit of God is there. And guess what? God's gone. And as I read the story, I've read this story many times, but for some reason I thought there was just a lot more to it from that point forward. But it actually goes really quickly, and it goes to the point where they took him, they put out his eyes, then they hooked him and put him to a, chained him to a millstone, to where all he did is walk around in a circle, grinding day after day, blinded and chained. Now, I want to submit to you today, I used to think that Delilah was his downfall. But the problem wasn't Delilah. The problem was his relationship with the Lord and his seriousness about his covenant with God. He flirted with sin all along the way until it ended up getting him to the point where he was. You see, sin does not, you don't fall into sin. You do not fall and into sin. It is something the enemy starts working it in you and trying to get you to succumb to it and try to get you. He tries to get you to little by little give up your morals and little by little to give in to this or that. He tries to get us to stay so busy in life and doing this and that. He tries to get us to the point where we are so consumed with the things of this world and things that are going on around us, and we've got to do this and we got to do that and we've got to do this and we've got to be here and we've got to be there and we've got to be this and we got to be that to everybody, and this friend dresses this way so I got to dress like them, and this friend does this and so I got to be them, and this friend drives this car and so I got to drive one like them, and this friend they talk this way or wear their hair this way so I got to do it like them. And the enemy has us so consumed with everything going on around us that he gets us to the place where we give up our covenant relationship, saying no so I can say yes. See, a lot of us say yes to everything going on around us and everything. See, as I was studying for this message, God first, everybody say God first, family, church. And a lot of times we don't even have God. Number one, we don't have God first in our life. But let me tell you something. Husbands and wives, you put God first in your life and then your family. Don't leave your family out. And a lot of today's generation, they put their family down last. And then the next thing we see, as we see couples going through this or that, let me tell you something. Don't take advice from a couple that's gone through a divorce and their life has fallen apart, and women, you're hanging around that woman. Don't take advice from them about your marriage. Take your advice from the Word of God. Amen? I mean, really and truly, I've seen so many couples going through things, and it's almost like a book I can write down in chapter and verse and tell you what's going to happen with the friends that they've been hanging around with. And you know who pays the price? Our children. Our families. You see, as Samson sinned and did these things, who paid the price? His family, his wife, his father-in-law, they were killed. Our families pay the price. The relationship with our marriage pays the price. When we don't put God first and we're so busy trying to get all the things and all this stuff, then that's what suffers. Saying no so I can say yes. There's a scripture in James chapter 1 verse 14, and it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." But every man is tempted. So we're all tempted, but here's the difference. When you put God first in your life and you are seeking Him and keeping Him a center of your life, you know what? When temptation comes, the Bible says, with every temptation, He'll make a way of escape. Can I hear an amen? But what happens is, when we don't have God first in our life and the temptation comes, we're like, "Well, yeah! Oh, wait, there's that line. Oh, it's okay, I'll jump across it a couple for a few minutes." Listen, Samson paid the price. His eyes were put out. He was hooked to a grinding mill. And then they brought him in the center of the town and they made fun of him. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Something began to grow back. And they didn't realize his hair had begun to grow back. See, God's grace and mercy is sufficient. And I've learned more about grace since I've been here in the 2.5, almost 3 years now. It's hard to believe. I've learned more about grace than probably in all my life as a Christian. Samson's hair began to grow back. He cried out to God. That boy led him to those pillars and he cried out to God, God, let me avenge my eyes and let me die with everyone else. And he pushed those pillars and he killed more people, more Philistines that day than he had ever slew in his life. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. I've got an audio that I want you to listen to. Just close your eyes and I want you to just listen for just a moment. What you're listening to is static. If you remember when I was a kid, we turned on a TV, if there's no channel, it was static. Man, it really stunk because there wasn't anything on for you to watch. But what I want you to think about just for a moment is the enemy is pressing every one of us to be so consumed with the things of this world that we're going to get, the things of this world that we want, the things of this world that we think that we need, and we're running around to and fro so busy, and we've lost our relationship with Christ. And here's what God wants us to do. He wants us to turn down the static. Listen. Y'all didn't hear the worship music going on when the static was going on, did you? You couldn't. God wants us to say no to some things in our life today that's causing static and noise and busyness and destruction in your lives. And he wants you to stop. Listen, it's okay to say no to things that are keeping you busy. Listen, my biggest downfall is my cell phone sometimes. I catch myself at the dinner table on my cell phone. And I look around and everybody else at the table. How many of you have seen what I'm talking about, even maybe in your families? The devil wants to keep us so busy and so consumed with the noise of this culture and the noise of the things going on around us that you don't have time to have praise in your life. And he wants you to say no to some things that you've been doing so you can say yes to him tonight. So you can say yes to that relationship with Jesus once again. So you can say yes to him and his anointing and his presence in your life. Let me tell you something. As I began to study for this message, God has convicted me. Dealt with me. I mean, the phone. You know, and I'm like, God, help me. So I've repented while preparing this message, church. So this is what I want you to do right now. I want you to close your eyes right where you're sitting. And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit. And say, Holy Spirit, I want you to show me what the noise is in my life. What is it that I'm doing or going and doing that's affecting my covenant relationship with you? What is it that I'm allowing to consume me and putting it first in front of you? It might just be one thing. It might be a bunch of things. Listen, when you die, you're not going to take your new home, your nice new car, the new clothes, you're not taking them with you. Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong and bad. Don't get me wrong. But if you spend your life trying to get all that stuff and you neglect your relationship with God and your family and your church, then yes, then it becomes a stumbling block. Man, I can't wait for Sunday's healing service because I believe God's going to just absolutely bring a healing wave through this sanctuary. But I think sometimes God, maybe the reason I don't receive the healing or the things that I need is maybe because God, I've allowed some things to come between you and me. And maybe I need to get my relationship with you right. Let's bow our heads. Father, God, I've given and delivered what I feel like you've spoken to my heart tonight, God. God, as this song says, I give myself. What are we giving ourselves to tonight, God? Are we giving ourselves to things that are not going to matter in eternity? Or are we giving ourselves to you? You know what? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, Pastor Donnie, this message is spoken to me, would you just slip your hand up? God bless that hand. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. That hand, that hand, that hand. Hands gone up all over the place. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to open this altar. If you want to come up for a moment of prayer, I want you to just find a place to kneel. You don't. It's not about me laying hands on you. It's about you connecting with God. I want you to come. Come on, that's it, that's it. Come on up, find a place right up here at this altar. We're just going to spend a few moments just spending time with God. That's it, come on, they're coming from all over. Come on, come on. Now here's the where the rubber meets the road, church. This is how serious am I going to be about this. Am I going to let this message change me, or am I going to walk away unchanged? Won't you just bow your heads right where you're at? The rest of you, won't you just spend a little bit of time with God? Maybe you need to repent over whatever it is that we've allowed to come before us. You see, sin doesn't start. You don't fall in sin at once. It's something that the enemy tricks us into little by little. And then when we realize that, you see, Samson was spiritually blind well before they put his physical eyes out. He thought he was okay. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for every family, every individual in this room tonight, God. I pray, God, that you would just send a fresh anointing and a fresh wave of your Spirit. Touch their hearts right now, God. Lord, I repent myself, God, of allowing the phone, God, or the computer or whatever else, God, that I might be placing before you, God. God, I give it to you, God. Let us walk out of here tonight changed, God, and closer to you than ever before. God, let a revival hit this town and these families like never before. Lord, I praise you. I give you glory and honor for what you're doing tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. That's it. Just slip your hands up and worship him if you're sitting there. Just worship him. Tell him how much you love him right now. God, we love you, Lord. We love you. God, you're worthy, Lord. God, we praise you. Lord, you're worthy, God. All praise and glory. God, restore that first love in our hearts, God, for you like we had when we first gave our lives to you. God, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Father. God, you're worthy, Lord. Lord, you're worthy. God, you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. To you I belong, Lord. Help us, Lord, to say no so we can say yes to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Thank you, Pastor Michael, for the opportunity to preach the word tonight. I hope you guys have a blessed night. Just remember, keep your eyes open. Look at those temptations that the enemy tries to put in your way, and don't give in. Say no so that you can say yes to him. Amen? Have a blessed night. God bless you guys.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.